Hello there, Paul.
Hello. I need something from you, if you don't mind. Have you ever heard of a homunculus?
Yes, I have, actually.
Can you tell me, and everyone listening, what a homunculus is, please?
This is all very sudden. You've been very nice to me today up
to now.
No,
I'm just wondering. I'll tell you.
You know what I feel is coming?
What?
Some kind of gotcha.
No, some kind of gotcha.
That's what it feels
like. I'll tell you, I've made my own homunculus, and I want to make one of you as well. So do you know what a homunculus is?
I know what a homunculus is.
Then please enlighten me and the listening audience as to the definition of a homunculus.
I think that the Latin is homo, meaning man.
Yes.
So it's a little man. Homunculus is a little man.
It is.
And it's associated with... in the modern sort of language of philosophy, broadly speaking, particularly the philosophy of the mind, with the little man who sits inside the head. That's the homunculus inside the head.
It can be seen as that,
That's the context I know it in.
Yeah.
But more generally, it is just a little man. A little man.
So I figured out...
Or woman, we should
say.
Yes,
that's true. I have made my own. I went through the process. I used left-hand magic to do so. And I've made my own.
Left-hand magic.
So I need one from you.
You need me to produce a homunculus.
I want a cheap show homunculi. Literally a homunculi.
Homunculi.
I want
homunculi. That's the plural.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. I want one of you and me. I want homunculi. Eli homunculus. So I need some spunk from you.
I'll give you spunk, bro.
I need enough because okay. So here's the process, and this is genuine. You collect some spunk and you put it into a gauze, and then you keep that gauze at the same temperature.
This is stuff we shouldn't be messing with, Paul. I'm just going to warn you right now.
Temperature as a horse's womb. That's actually what you got to do, and then you keep it like that for a couple of weeks, and then eventually, a little homunculus comes out of it.
This isn't.
I was skeptical.
This isn't good magic.
I was skeptical.
Are you going to produce some kind of fucking
You've kind of led away, but let me just get him out. I've got my little Paul homunculus here.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm putting it up to the microphone. Go on, little Paul.
Listeners, he's cupping an invisible creature, and he's doing the voice.
I'm Paul Gannon, and I'm a tiny Paul Gannon.
You're a little Paul homunculus.
I'm a tiny Paul Gannon.
Okay.
How are you doing, Mr. Eli?
You seem like a child rather than a small version of
Paul. No, just being very nice.
No,
Mr.
you seem
Silverman.
Very infantile.
Mm. Oh, come here.
Oh, he's got
to get out of the... Oh, don't!
Fucking little thing.
Mate, you've smashed him.
Yeah. Fucking wash the homunculus off my fucking soul, you
can. Oh, poor homunculus Gannon.
That's...
Poor homunculus Paul.
And welcome to Cheap Show.
No, I'm going to need you to produce sperm.
I will, I've told you. Look.
Between you and me, Paul.
Yeah.
You can come in the House of Pickles.
I can come anywhere. What?
No, you can enter the House of Pickles.
We'll fucking enter the House of Pickles. Give you a fucking homunculus.
In the House of Pickles, Paul.
What a horror film that would be. Homunculi in the House of Pickles. Oh, Mr. Spielberg, make that, would
you? He doesn't do horrors anymore,
does he? He doesn't do nothing.
Did he ever really do a horror?
Have I ruined the cold open with my homunculus
story? I was trying to hitch my wagon to your homunculus idea, but then... Halfway through, I realised he doesn't know where he's going with this.
And can I just fill you in, listener? I didn't know where I was going with
Paul, you can come in the House of Pickles and fill me in.
I don't know what to say to that, other than welcome to Cheap Show.
Press the fucking credits.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show tonight.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Yes, it's Cheap Show, that podcast about the economy comedy things we do to look for the treasure in the trash. Oh, we look everywhere. Oh, pound shops, boot sales, charity shops, all over the world. And we bring it to you as a content type podcast with humorous asides and whimsies. Hello, I'm Paul Gannon and this is...
Eli Silverman, hello. And I will open here, Paul, if
Oof,
I may.
Will ya? Will you? What are you going to open?
By just saying to any listeners who are part of the occult.
Yes, anyone community, who practices magic.
Paul was not mocking you.
Oh, I wasn't.
Or your practices with his garbled version of the, is it homunculi spell?
I'm thinking of making homunculi to sell at the live show in October. You can come along, like a little Funko Pop, but a little real me or you. And they'll do anything you want. They'll do dishes, they'll clean your flat. You know, they're really good. No, don't do the sucking cock sign.
Well, what else would you make a homunculi for?
Well, there's loads of other reasons.
You stick it up your bum, Richard Gere style.
So what, you want people who listen to our podcast to stick your head up their fucking arse?
My little homuncle head. Snappy, snappy, snap.
It'll look like a critter. Little critter.
And as it suffocates, very much like the hamster.
Poor hamster.
It goes...
Poor Richard Gere, though, really, because, you know...
I think Richard Gere's been financially compensated for, you know...
All I'm saying is, even though the
he's
world
okay.
knows...
He's okay. I don't think you should worry about him.
The
you
world
know?
Knows he didn't do that, but still the lie continues on unabated.
I know. But it's, again, this sort of double standard, because the...
But also, fuck him.
The animal rights people should be onto him.
PETA.
Yeah.
Do you see the fucking advert they did today? You wouldn't eat a T-Rex, don't eat a chicken. Yes, that's a great piece of logic, that.
It's just...
You wouldn't eat a thing that doesn't exist anymore, so why would you eat a thing that does?
The point they're trying to make is you have this sort of reverence and respect for these extinct creatures. And then there's the scientific reality that birds are descended from dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yeah, very weak.
But
very
if someone
weak.
Came up to you and went, oh, Eli, here's a T-Rex chop, you'd eat it, wouldn't you? You'd have a go.
Well, they are on the brink, a lot of people think, of actually being able to do a Jurassic Park and
they
bring
shouldn't.
Back these... Well, they're going to... Yeah, what? They
should,
could grow...
You think could do it, couldn't and should do it.
They should, they should grow T-Rex steaks. You don't have to, you know, because they can do lab-grown meat. So just get me T-Rex so we could taste exotic meats from the extinct past.
You see...
Ooh, tuck me in!
What this should have been, right, was Richard Hammond went, oh, look, I've cloned the T-Rex, and he opened the door, and it's Mark Bolan doing some of his hits from the past, and it's like, not Jurassic Park, but like 70s Rock Park. Where you can see, like, Queen.
Other dinosaurs, such as the Stones.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Here we go. You think, you could do it, couldn't have, should done it.
This is definitely a joke that hasn't been made on Mock the Week at some point.
Has it? I don't know. I don't watch that fucking bollocks.
I bet you humorous content exists, conflating the term rock dinosaur with real dinosaur in a Jurassic Park context.
So if it was Mock the Week, it'd be like, here's some films you wouldn't expect to see.
Exactly,
and then some
young
stand-up goes, just imagine I'm Sam Neill, and then I'm in a car, and then a giant Mark Bolan crawls over the wall and flips it over.
He's a dinosaur.
You shouldn't have done it, couldn't have, shouldn't have, wouldn't have done it.
Now, Paul.
Yes, welcome to the show, everyone.
The only, for me,
yeah.
and it is a real problem with eating meat, eating chicken or anything,
pork.
Is that they are sentient beings, in my view. And
yes.
I wouldn't like to be slaughtered and then eaten.
No.
And there's nothing I can say to that as a meat eater. There's nothing I can say. That is a moral for me. That is a moral failing in myself that I have to just live with. Okay? Them saying, oh, you like this one species.
No,
so if
now,
this
yeah,
is another, you know, it's just like, no, I accept eating any living creature has a moral problem as a thinking human. I have to accept if I think they're conscious like me. That is the only thing you can say.
It's like I saw another advert where it was like, you wouldn't eat a scarecrow, so why would you eat a chicken? And I was like, well, that's a straw man argument, isn't it? Hello, mother.
Hello,
mother.
I saw that.
Hello, mother.
I saw that. That was
mother,
good.
My mother-in-law. Fucking day. Oh.
That was good. But anyway, welcome to the show, everyone.
Oh, that's the best joke you're getting. So the rest of the hour is going to be a fucking long march to our doom. Right, here we go.
No, but Paul.
Do you have a Tales
I
from the...
I do.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my favourite part of the show. Maybe yours too. It is the bit where Eli rambles on about his boring fucking existence DJing at the weekend, recounting the same old three stories. Which one will the roulette bring up today? Let's find out.
What are the three story tropes then?
Woman comes up to you, asks for something you don't have, and you treat her like shit. Man comes up to you who fucking says something and he's a knobhead and a bit intimidating. Three, a bouncer based story or something you see out on the street.
Okay, it is the first type, Paul.
Hooray!
Except it's not a young lady, it is a young man or a middle-aged man.
Okay.
So I'm also in the other venue that I play.
He has numerous venues in which Eli DJs from, not to be mentioned here because he does not want you, the listener, to know where he works.
I don't mind. This is the Discount Suit Company, which is, I've been there for several years now.
You have?
A cocktail bar.
Yeah, it's a lovely little place.
Not a dance place, really.
Not really,
but
no.
I'm doing background, you know.
You're an ambience man.
Yes, I'm a song and ambience man.
You're a song and ambience man.
So, It's a Thursday I'm doing, so it's obviously not a lively night. There's a group of middle-aged men in, Paul.
Okay.
Obviously, maybe after work or after some kind work. Of thing.
Was it a Friday or Saturday?
It was a Thursday. Oh. So very much an after-work yeah. crowd you get there. And they were casually dressed, but they did look like they belonged in an office scenario. You know, okay. middle-aged men, sort of management, sort of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of them keeps looking at me as I'm playing the records.
Ooh.
Like, you know, you do get, because I'm right on the bar there. So the decks yeah. and the records spinning around are very much exposed. And it's sort of, that's obviously part of the reason why they want a vinyl DJ there.
Of course.
It gives it a sort of zhuzh uh-huh. of the vinyl. And then he gets the, eventually he gets the courage up. He's sitting behind me and he turns around and goes, do you do requests? And I say, yes.
Oh,
yes, I do requests. What's your request? And I don't say, yes, I do. I go straight to, what is the request? As we've discussed numerous times,
yeah.
do you do requests is a stupid question. You
just
might as well
ask
do the
just ask yeah. and you get a yes or no.
Because that's almost, you're getting that first question out of the way as a bonus. Because I could answer, if you said, went straight to the request, I could just go, I don't do requests.
Let's and play then this I've out now. That. Let's play this out now. We'll play both scenarios out, okay? Yeah. So you're DJing, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me, may I ask a request?
Yes.
Do you have Fleetwood Mac's Rumours?
No, I do not have that.
Right, next one. Do you have Fleetwood Mac's Rumours?
No.
Thank you.
I don't do requests. Thank you. See, I could answer it there. I don't do requests.
Yeah. Why don't you put a sign up that says, I don't do requests?
That's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Why don't you wear a hat that says, just don't talk to me, mate?
I don't.
T-shirt saying, fuck off,
knobber. The fact of the matter is, I do requests, Paul.
You do do.
I do do.
When you do, you do. But when you don't, you won't.
Yes, exactly. Anyway.
It's very simple and inconsistent.
And I said, what is the request to this man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's giggling to himself.
Because
so.
It is so... Anyway, what do you think?
Okay.
He asked for an artist.
An artist?
Band or artist.
Right. And you're embarrassed by it. It's not going to be anything no, like that.
I couldn't control myself. I laughed openly into his face. My face wasn't that far from his face.
All right.
When he said it, I involuntarily laughed into his face
okay.
and looked at his mate, and then I had to go, oh, whoa, okay, I'm a bit too mask off laughing right, okay. into your face.
So was it Matt Bianco?
No. See, that would also make me giggle, but that at least would have some... This was just the worst possible sort of... Something he remembers from when he was once drunk or something. It was just like, it's...
Was it the Ketchup song?
No.
Was it Wigwam Bam by Sweet?
No, but these are all
was
song
titles.
Was
it Copacabana by Barry Manilow?
You're giving me song titles. I told you it was just
an artist. So, okay, was it Barry Manilow? Was it Take That?
No.
Was it Boys on the Black... New Kids on the Block?
Boys on the Black stuff.
I know, that was getting confused between a, punk, a boy band no. and a hard-hitting drama about scousers looking for Which work in the 80s. This is very different. Ladies and gentlemen, at number two in the chart, it's the Boys from the Black stuff. Actually, you know what? They
job.
Did release a song called Giz a Job.
Yes.
I don't think it was an actual official release. I think it was a comedy parody thing.
Yes.
But
We covered
we
that.
Have recovered it, yeah, so it's not too far-fetched. Anyway, I don't know the answer. Please reveal the answer. We're all waiting for it. Reveal.
Fun-loving criminals.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Can you see why I laughed?
If
you
this was a student union bar in 97, yeah. yes. Okay.
Because he was possibly about the same age as me, maybe, you know.
That would make sense.
Mid to late 40s, probably.
And look, I quite like fun-loving criminals
I
in
know,
their prime.
But
no,
know,
you
but...
wouldn't go... to a blues bar, play nothing blues and go, hey, have you got Scooby Snacks,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
You want to hear that now?
Well, that's the thing. That's the because I've been discussing it. I only thought they did that one, which was Listen Up Punk, or whatever it's called. We're the fun-loving criminals.
Listen Up Punk, we're the fun-loving
criminals. But
that's
different. There's another track called Scooby Snacks.
Yeah,
that's
that was their big hit.
Scooby Snacks was the big one.
I would have said that was their bigger hit.
But why do
two.
I remember Listen Up Punk?
Because they were both quite popular hits.
Yeah.
That first album was, you know, a bit of a album of that year. It was.
It
like,
was
everyone had it. I had a copy. Nearly everyone I knew at university had a copy
okay.
of it. And every now and then it gets those vinyl re-releases and
it's
remasters.
It's not very good.
It's fine. It hasn't aged very well, but it's very yeah. much of the 90s. Because remember, they scored the music to Sopranos. So they did have some cultural cachet.
But then he went ahead and became like a really sort of anodyne TV presenter character.
He got full into living in the UK. He loved it yeah. over here. He used to go on about how he loved EastEnders. He got a short-lived Radio 1 spot or Radio 6
I've
show.
I've seen him like presenting dog clip shows. You know what I mean? Funny dog clip shows. I saw him presenting one.
And all their shows are probably based on the name of his band, so it's like
yeah
dog loving
yeah it was something like
criminals
that. Yeah,
or something
it was
like that
like, yeah.
fun loving beagles or
yeah. basically now.
Scooby snacks.
Yes. I would watch fucking fun-loving bagels.
Fun-loving bagels. No, I'd watch that too. Yeah, I would.
Mate, we should brainstorm more for these TV titles. What? Fun-loving bagels. You get Huey Morgan, you go around the bagel shops in London.
No, how about
Listen up, punk. It's a fun-loving bagel.
Huey Morgan, Huey Lewis, we have a show called Huey and Huey. And we just go around the world.
I'm loving this now.
And it's about them being sick every week by drinking too much. Huey's Huey show. Something like that. Huey Morgan in the news.
What about this?
I'm losing my mind. Can we stop?
One more thing.
All right.
He's got Perk Pecks.
Yeah, Perk Pecks.
And he went to Birkbeck.
Birkbeck's Perk Pecks. All right, yeah, I guess if you want us to do that. Yeah, we can do.
Anyway, no,
we should stop because we're both fracturing. So let's...
That was my tales from the dance floor. I laughed in his face and had to rein it in a bit. And then he did go on and ask for Boogie Wonderland.
Fine.
More of a...
safer option.
What made me laugh is the incongruity of that with the set I'd been playing, you know?
Well, you know what? We've all learned something today. Huey Lewis and Huey Morgan need to team up for a TV show where they feed dogs.
They could feed dogs bagels. Huey and Huey get pukey with the bagel run.
Sorry. Wait! Huey and Huey's Beagle Bagel Run.
Hooray!
We're pathetic.
What we got coming up on the show today, Paul?
Well, we're going to find out right now. Well, it's a bit of a foodie episode. This week on the podcast, we've got something sweet, something sour, and something salty to enjoy. We're going to start off with... what do you actually want to start off with? The drinks? Since we got the ice cubes just about ready?
Yeah, because they're going to get too melty.
All right, so we got these two cans sent to us. I believe they're from a Ven. They are the Barbie Girl Drink Raspberry... what's F-E-I-J-O-A? Fiora? What's that drink? I've never seen that before.
Maybe that's just raspberry in a different language.
Oh, yes.
See what I mean?
Well, fine.
Yeah.
So we've got a tin...
it is in a different language because they've got a sticker on the back.
Same here.
Yeah. Translated.
So that is a raspberry fizzy drink with a Barbie logo on. And this is, in my hand, the Hot Wheels Race Drink Tutti Frutti.
Now, who owns Barbie, the big corp?
Mattel.
Do they also own Hot Wheels?
I believe they do.
So we're going to get Hot Wheels movies. We're going to get a Monopoly movie. Can you imagine how fucking shit that's going to be?
They've been saying Monopoly movie for decades. At one point, Ridley Scott was going to make a Monopoly movie.
I bet he was. Ka-ching.
Yeah.
Wanker. Fuck you!
Oh, dear.
I'm going to fucking send my homunculi. I'm spooping them out.
That's not how you make
homunculi. I've streamlined the process, Paul.
You haven't. You can't just fire tiny Eli's out of your
cock. I've got little gauze pellets. I just have to aim, and then they're in the incubator.
I still hate this phase you're going through of just jabbing your groin towards me and touching it with your hands. I'm not a fan of being drawn to that area of you.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's like roadkill.
What's like roadkill?
Your groin. You can't not see it, but you regret looking at it.
And what's the? And we got a Hot Wheels drink as well, then.
So it just says Tutti Frutti. I don't even know what that even fucking means.
It's the flavour of ice cream, Tutti Frutti.
Yes, you're right. But
and
what's
I think that?
That
comes from the Italian for all fruits.
But what is...
Two.
Yeah. And there's chewing gum, isn't there? Tutti Frutti gum. There was all that.
It's like a multi-fruit flavoured gum.
But what flavour springs to mind when someone says, hey, here's a Tutti Frutti thing?
Vanilla... not vanilla.
No, I would have said like pineapple.
Raspberry, pineapple, Tutti Frutti, mate.
All right. No, I'm not complaining. It's just
fucking Tutti Frutti. You don't see it.
Tutti Frutti, my Rutti.
You don't often see Tutti Frutti flavoured things.
No.
You don't often see toy branded soft drinks.
No. But this is the thing. It's generic piss with a brand on to sell it.
It might be nice. Which one are you looking forward to?
Honestly, Tutti Frutti.
I like a raspberry soda.
Because I need to mention that yours has a drawing of Barbie on with a Barbie font, and this has the Hot Wheels logo with one of those. What kind of cars are they? They're like roadsters or
dragster.
What? Dragster, that's the thing, with a little dragster on. And this one's got a skull on the front. Which
I
is
like
cool.
That can. I'd probably be saving it and putting it next to my
collection of Hot Wheels.
My limited edition. Collection. No, my limited edition Mountain Dew Halloween edition can.
Oh, there you go.
That was a mystery can. Remember that?
I do. I remember the mystery of it.
And the design on the Barbie one is very sort of what I know. It's got a name. That style of website where they just, you know, that's
like
sort of
flash art kind of thing.
That style.
It has got that vibe.
Whereas
this one is a bit more arty because you can see like the track in the background, the toy track and the loop-de-loop.
And the branding just is stronger on the Hot Wheels, I feel.
So should we start with the Barbie one then?
Yeah.
Right, so I never hold much hope for these kinds of drinks.
Oh, the genericness of that.
He gave it a huff and he was not impressed.
I'm extremely generic. I'm not holding up a high hope for this.
The huff was not enough. Oh, but I like the colour of it. It's a nice
purple.
Purple. There you go.
Hopefully get some fizz action there for you, Paul. I know it's an important fizz thing for
action.
You.
Yes.
The level of carbonation.
Carbonation is very important to my palate. I'm going to give it a huff myself. Oh, mate, do you know what it smells like?
Is it sugar-free, by the way?
Probably not. I don't know. Does it say anywhere on it? It usually has a big sign saying, aren't we fucking great for being sugar-free? I reckon
no, this has got sugar, so it
good.
Might be all right.
So, the smell to me is Chirpa Chups strawberry lollipop.
Oh, that's raspberry.
Yeah. Well, but no, but it's still
that,
smells like a strawberry.
It's that really artificial raspberry.
Yeah.
You have it, isn't it?
Yeah. Go.
It's that artificial raspberry. Has an almost floral finish.
Chalky. Not the Jim Davidson
character.
No, we're
not doing that now.
No, we're
Paul.
Not doing the Jim Davidson character. I just meant it's got a chalky flavour to it. It's kind of. Do you not see what I mean? It's got this kind of roughness to the texture. Do you not taste it? Like someone's ground up a paracetamol into it. It's like that's the texture. Ugh.
I think you need to go to the doctor.
Why?
Because I'm not getting that at all.
You don't get that chalky residue.
There's no chalky residue there. Anyhow, but it is incredibly mediocre. At least
thank
it doesn't
God.
Have that aspartame.
No,
hum.
It doesn't have that. It's not awful, to be fair.
I don't think that's awful. It's just a very plain raspberry flavoured soda drink.
Yeah.
Tutti Frutti.
Who sang that song? Tutti Frutti, my Rudy.
Little Richard.
Little Richard. Hey.
One of the foundational rock and roll songs. And you know another story, Little Richard's story.
Go on.
That Ewan told me.
Yeah.
He used to like put a poo in a sort of a present.
So if Ewan told you
and
this,
show
has
it to
be
women.
True. Right.
And they'd all, ah! He like shock women with poos in.
Can he back that story up? Was it just?
Yes, he's very, Ewan is very into.
Scat.
No, rock and roll. And especially Little Richard. He idolises Prince.
So where did he learn that from then?
I think from an autobiography.
What, Little Richard? Wrote a book about himself and he happily wrote, one day I put a turd on a jar and showed it to ladies.
He used to prank, yeah.
Do you want to see my little Richard?
He was always extremely flamboyant and just an incredibly important musician in the evolution of popular music in the 20th century.
Yes. Right, anyway, so I'm sniffing the huffing of this.
This is the Tutti Frutti Hot Wheels branded one. Race drink, it's called.
It almost smells of nothing. It's kind of like a very weak. Do you know fruit salad candy?
Yeah.
Like that.
You mean like a Barrett's fruit salad? It's got a pissy colour.
Is this an energy drink? It smells like. Now
taurine.
That
it smells like Red Bull.
It does. Now, doesn't it look like it now I'm out the can?
It has a Red Bull colour.
Now that I smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a.
Well,
is this
that's
an energy
only one
drink?
Way to find out, Paul. That's
it would make sense, though, right? Hot Wheels, energy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, race drink.
But
yeah.
Does it say it anywhere that it is?
No.
No, but it tastes
no,
like
taurine.
It. No, but it smells like it, doesn't it? And looks like it. Is this baby's first energy drink kind of thing?
Perhaps it's just a non-energy drink, sort of pretending. The cans are Red Bull cans.
Yeah.
Cans, so.
Though both cans are in that shape. Let's go.
That tastes like the generic Red Bull copy you get at bars.
But it doesn't
not
taste...
not quite as acrid, not quite as medicine-y, but... similar flavour.
But it doesn't taste like Tutti Frutti. It does just taste like generic Red Bull.
Much worse than the Barbie one. It tastes like weak Red Bull is what it tastes like.
Baby's first Red Bull.
Very bad. Oh, the flavour's terrible on that. I mean, I don't know what we were expecting, but it was very, very poor.
True, but I wasn't expecting to like the Barbie one more. And that's not because it was Barbie, just because they both seemed... but the Barbie one's far more flavourful and refreshing.
Definitely better. Yeah.
Strange idea to go, let's make a drink that tastes like Red Bull, but isn't Red Bull.
Just the bottom of a barrel shit.
Yeah, well, there we go. That's what we've learned today. Two cheap drinks weren't very nice. Well, we've done very well. So let's move on to something a little bit more chewy. Sweets and candies, boys and girls. Paul's got them all. Come to Paul's Sweet Shop. Candies, sweeties, lollipops and juleberries.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Yes,
hello.
I'm PC Denby.
PC Denby.
So my name is not relevant now. I'm here to ask you a few questions. Is that okay?
Sweets, officer, candies.
What,
candies.
Do you have a license for this shack? This shack?
What do you mean license?
Well, you need a license to sell.
Yes, license. Your license, you say. I'm just an old sweet boy candy man
and
selling
there appears
sweets.
Appears to be these little creatures running around. What are these?
Homunculi, yes.
Come on, let's get out of this. You fucking
weirdo. I'll tell you what, I'll move down the road, officer, and sell my sweets somewhere else.
Well, yes, if you go down Let's Be Avenue,
Yes.
Past the stew shop. I'm going to be popping in there later some Irish stew.
All right, well, I'll just go to Jeff Bridges over there and...
I'm not doing this bit anymore with
Why
people.
Not?
Because it's not good.
Nothing we do is fucking good, but at least sometimes you roll with it.
No, there is sometimes good.
No, there's never been anything good on this show. It's awful. You're awful. I'm awful.
No.
We're all awful people on a downward trajectory, so fucking get used to it.
You can't.
Hello, everybody. It's time for some candy treats. Now, we did something sweet. Let's do something sour. We've got a range of candies today, and these, to start off, are Toxic Waste, which is a brand that make very sour sweets.
And this brings me back right to the origins of our sweet little show, Paul, because we started by doing a show called The Uncleakables.
Indeed.
A live podcast recording show.
Yes.
But we did have sweet tastings.
Yes.
And I remember we did a product by this company. So this company's been around a long
time. For a while. You usually get them in little plastic barrels with little chewy sweets and or boiled sweets, weren't they?
Yeah, the barrels resembling sort of toxic waste containers. Yes. And this, and they have the yellow and black stripe design.
Warning!
Warning.
They're super bad.
And they're called Toxic Waste.
So these are chew bars, and we have three flavours here. We have sour apple, sour cherry, and sour raspberry.
These are ultra sour.
Yes.
And it says nuclear sludge as well.
Interesting how they sell these, isn't it? By kind of leaning
danger,
on...
Danger, danger.
Yeah, but they're leaning on, like, images of, like, Chernobyl and Three Mile Island almost.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird, incongruous kind of thing.
But also, I don't... No one... I've seen documentaries about nuclear waste and, you know, radiation sickness. It doesn't mention that it's super sour.
No, nor does it go, it's yummy, tasty or anything like that. So, we're trying the apple one first because for some reason I bought two of the apple. So the smell is actually quite chemically and nasty.
Oh yeah, there's an artificial apple with a sort of...
I can just about smell the apple, but there's way too many chemicals in that for me. But we're chewing it.
That's all right.
It's not very sour, though. From a brand that says, oh, sour.
Maybe I had to rein it in.
Maybe. It was fine. There wasn't much of an apple texture to that. I'm just going to open this next one now. This is the blue raspberry.
It's a chew. It's not going to have an apple texture. Do you mean flavour?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, flavour.
Yeah, flavour and apple. It wasn't much of an apple flavour, really, there.
No.
A hint, a suggestion, an innuendo of apple.
I didn't hate that.
No, I didn't. I could easily polish that off. But I'm going to have this end of the blueberry. I've opened it up wide.
Oh, blue raz. See, it's everywhere, Paul. I'm telling you. I reckon. Here, I'm going to make you a bet. Blue Raz the movie.
Chris Pine.
Is going to come out before the Monopoly film.
Good luck, then. Right, so that was the blueberry one. I just had a bite.
It's not blueberry.
Blue raspberry. That's what it says, blue raspberry.
Yeah,
so
not
I got
blueberry.
Confused. I conflated the two, didn't I? Twat. Right, fine. I think better flavour than the apple. More juicy, more, but not very sour either.
No, same level of sourness.
Sour. So now we're going on to sour cherry. Oh, which one will be best? I bought these from B&M. They were 29p each.
Oh, that's a clear winner for me so far, the blue raz. Nice.
Now, you see, for me, personally speaking, I like cherry things. So I'm hoping this one comes through
for
me. You
do like cherry things, don't you?
Yeah.
Which makes it all the more strange that you won't countenance Pepsi Max cherry.
It's the Max part I fucking hate. Not the cherry or the Pepsi, it's the Max part. The Max part, which suggests a lack of sugar, an addition of something fake else, a ting of fucking nasty, sugary, sweet fakery that absolutely turns the flavour to sticky, gooey, fizzy gobshite. I think the representation of cherry is undermined by the Max part of the Cherry Max, Cherry Pepsi Cherry Max.
With you, Paul. Got you there. With
and
you.
It remains the drink of cunts. All right?
All right. Good. I was in a pub over the weekend. And
fucking
they
cherry
had...
Pepsi Max and bread. Do you never get me talking about either.
They had a special in this pub, Paul.
Oh, it does smell cherry, this one.
They had a special every Friday. Do you know what it was called on the blackboard?
Pepsi Cherry Max Day.
No, this is... I'm not talking about that anymore.
Okay.
It was called...
Opinionated Conjecture.
It was a sort of special they did where they did a chip dinner.
Yeah.
A fish dinner.
Fishy dinner.
And they gave you Prosecco as well, a glass of Prosecco. And it was called Fish and Fizz.
Fucking hell.
I knew you'd like that.
Fish and Fizz. That sounds like if you've got a problem with your fanny.
It so does.
Oh, I'm sorry. We take the test, Mrs.
Darling.
Goggins, and you've got Fish and Fizz.
Right.
Yep. I have had this, and
you
it
like
might
it?
Be my favourite. It's the most sour
as
well.
Oh, it's got that nice... is it the most sour?
I think so,
now,
really.
Sour cherry, obviously, is a combination...
Oh!
Paul?
I just bit
You bit your tongue? How bad?
People.
Is it going to bleed?
No.
Is it bleeding? Can you feel it bleeding?
No.
Are we okay to continue with the recording? Is it okay to continue with the recording?
Yeah.
Did you get too infused by the taste of the cherry thing? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not nice.
I'm sorry too.
It's not nice.
This is going to be hard to podcast.
Is it?
I bit my tongue. Oh, it's done that.
Oh, that is the most sour.
And the most flavourful for me. I like that.
That's working for me.
That's easily the best chew. Yeah, well, they're all right for what they are for 29p each. B&M, fucking good stuff. Well done. Clap, clap. Stamp your feet. Banging on a big bass drum. What a picture. Ah, me fucking tongue. Right, we're going to take a little break and come back for our next sweet yet sour treat. So, while I was in B&M, waiting to get some items for our last segment today on the show, my eye fell upon two packets of something called Sour Madness, and one's called Sour Madness Crush, and the other one's just called Sour Madness, and they are sour gummies. Little skull shapes. They're very windy.
Poor.
And the tongue hurts. It sucks right now to be me.
Oh, sorry, I got a big wave of
wafty
Schadenfreude there.
Lofty's wafty.
Paul, they're very much branded like Mexican Day of the Dead style.
It's got that neon skull
cartoony
colour.
I like the artwork.
I do. There are four flavours in each pack. So you've got Bloody Orange, Cherry Neon, Hell Watermelon, Slime Apple in the Sour Madness pack. In the Sour Madness Crush, you have Wild Strawberry, Blueberry Bash, Pomegranate Burst, and Grapefruit Punch.
Very nice. Now, it's funny how the toxic waste goes with a sort of the horror of chemicals.
Yes.
And industrial accidents.
Isn't it fun to eat sweets out of a toxic waste barrel?
But this is going for a more traditional, scary skeleton style horror.
Yeah, and it says on the back, take the challenge, try these sour skulls and share them with your friends. It's dangerous. Are you ready? And that's it, really.
Do you think this is going to trouble our sour taste buds more than those did?
I think they'll be about the exact same sourness.
Oh, they come in their own
They come in little packets.
Are they gummies? They feel very hard in the pack, I'm telling you. They feel very much like a fruit pastel.
Fucking hell. It smelled like a kind of personal pod. You know those personal washing up pods?
No, this smells much worse.
Smell that. That smells like a personal pod.
Are these two different? We've got a black packet and a pink packet.
Yeah, the pink
packet. All got different pack flavours.
Yeah, I just said I read them all out, didn't I? So the crush ones in the pink packet has those four flavours.
That smells like those things that they used to have in Hamleys where you'd have a little tube of this stuff and you put a little ball of it on this end of this little plastic straw and you'd blow it and it would turn into a balloon.
Big balloon.
Do you know that
stuff? Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the kind of really thick bubbly balloons you can blow up.
Yeah, but it had that smell. That chemical smell.
Right, so which bag should we start on first? One at a time.
The black bag.
Right, so
we're going to have to fucking taste 18 different flavours.
We'll do two flavours each. So you do two, I'll do two, and we'll both have to represent them as best we can. Right, so I'm going to...
Handed you two there.
I'm going to try the slime apple one first.
What's your other one?
Hell watermelon.
That seems to be the only two types I've got in it.
Well, bullshit, how many are in there in the pack? Because they were a quid.
Oh, there's a different one.
All right, so you have the other two flavours then, so...
Okay.
And I'll have this. Oh, mate.
We didn't get any yellow ones.
There is no yellow. There's only four flavours. So you got the orange.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Bloody orange I've got.
And what's the other one?
Cherry neon.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to try the first one, which is apple slime. And this is a hard little sweet. Oh.
And I'm going to try cherry neon.
Oh, it's a bald sweet.
Yeah.
It said gummies.
I thought they were gummies. Oh. That's on me.
And we're not going to be able to taste a lot of these, mate.
No.
Very sour. Much sourer than the chews.
And the bald sweet's all right. This one's kind of apple in that typical way.
Yeah, this is very typical cherry. Nothing to them. Meh.
Meh.
We'll try one from the other pack, yeah?
I'm going to do the hell watermelon.
Well, what am I doing then?
Anything you fucking want, mate.
Well, that's much more sour.
Is it? It's because it's going right on your tongue cut.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it's fucking is.
Paul. Paul. I can't find my other flavour. Oh, it's happened, everyone. Paul has spat it out into his little spitty cup.
Only because it was on me tongue, sir, and put it that hard. Oh, God.
Are we okay to continue?
Yeah, give me the other two flavours from other pack. Yeah. Give me two flavours from pack. Oh, come on, love. Any two you like from their blue. All right,
we've got wild strawberry coming over.
Right, go on.
And we've got blueberry bash, which is what happens. I like to call it blueberry bash, Paul, when... when I've had two or three wanks that day, but I've got the horn. Perhaps I've been doing some meow meow or something, and I'm going at it, you know, and it's getting all blue. And then the blueberry bash is the last one of the day when it's really blue.
And you had the fucking tenacity to attack my comedy ideas with all you were doing and just wanking to your balls fucking prostate.
Again, the use of words.
I'll use whatever fucking words I want in the blue
mouth.
No
shit.
Oh, fuck it. I mean, actually, it tastes quite nice. The boiled
I'm going to try the blueberry one as well. I'm going to try the blueberry one as well because I'm keeping this content going.
I'm trying to get into this little packet.
I guess the idea is you sort of portion them out one at a time as treats to your kids.
Not really that sour. It's just hit me tongue.
Oh, they're more sour at first.
But that goes quickly. Mm. What's the
last blueberry one? It is more sour.
Yeah.
Than the cherry one I had.
I think it depends on which one's got as much sour powder on it than the other because they're uneven. Strawberry. This is a strawberry one.
That's not as bad.
It just feels like someone's sticking a pin in my tongue now.
Oh, poor Paul.
They're all quite sour.
Poor Richard Gere and poor Paul. He's spitting it out, everyone.
I'm only spitting it out because it hurts. Because it fucking hurts so bad.
I just had this image of this really grim sort of fly on the wall style film where you're a prostitute and you keep spitting the cum out and then you... And then you said, I'm only spitting it out because it hurts because you've been hit in the face or something.
Well, aren't you fucking drawing a beautiful image?
Oh, God, I'm terrible.
Right, you are fucking terrible. Thank you for admitting that.
Oh, my tongue hurts.
I will say this. I do like these.
These are nice.
I think the boiled sweets part, which is often the bit that lets these things down, is still flavourful.
Nice.
Doesn't feel cheap. The sourness depends on...
You know what
I
like about it? Sorry.
Go on.
The way it's sour at first, but then goes sweet. It's like a relief.
Yeah, it washes away almost. I think the sourness will depend on how much that particular boiled sweet has been coated. Because some of them are barely coated and some of them are very coated. Oh, God.
There's an uneven coating of the sour mix.
Yeah.
So that, at least that's out the way now.
Were there any ones we haven't tried? There are.
I don't know. Which one did you
have? Oh, pomegranate.
Oh, we haven't done... Do pomegranate. I want to do pomegranate.
Here you go.
Right.
Grapefruit. I'll try the grapefruit. What? We've got
to do...
What do you want? Grapefruit or pomegranate?
I wouldn't mind. I don't like grapefruit all that much.
Okay,
so.
Pomegranate. You like pomegranate?
I do like pomegranate.
There's a drink you like, the Rubicon pomegranate fizzy one. You like that, don't you?
It is one of my favourite all-timers.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck it.
Ooh!
Oh, God.
That's really nice, actually, the grapefruit one. Really good grapefruit flavour. Mm-hmm. How's the pomegranate flavour?
It's nice. It's not very pomegranate-y, but it's there almost.
Grapefruit's really there. Oh, I like those. If you're into sours and you're not some kind of weird masochist who wants them stupid, you know, like those things Biffo had. What were those green, you know, they were just fucking... crazy
and that
bad.
Stuff we had for 300 that everyone had at the end of this round. But
this is actually sour, but then it turns into quite a pleasant boiled sweet.
Boiled sweet. So you know what? For a pound each a bag,
good.
Fine.
Nice. A nice
fine.
Artwork.
Lovely
these
design.
These would be perfect, Paul.
Halloween.
Yeah. Trick or treat.
Yes. Yes. They're a perfect Halloween treat for trick or treat.
But I do have to say, I mean, it's the way that they've done it, but the waste of having individually packaged within a larger pack is
unnecessary. Unnecessary packaging, which is like a major drawback. But maybe they have to because of the way they're made. They'd all stick together in the bag. Who
I mean, it's
knows?
A useless. Sweets don't need to exist anyway if you're looking at all of this.
True,
you know?
But then you can go deeper. Cars don't need to exist.
No, nothing needs to.
We don't need
we
to.
We can just blink out.
We might do one day.
I'm blinking one off right now.
I have already been blinking throughout the whole of this show. little backdoor eyeball's
the
been blinking.
The reality sphincter.
My reality
backdoor eyeball has been...
My backdoor eyeball's been blinking and winking throughout the whole of this segment.
Oh, yeah?
And it sees the future.
Is it watering a bit?
No, it's more like a seepage.
Brown tears.
You know, like if two pipes aren't connected and it kind of overflows at the bit where it connects.
I'm not going down
this road.
It's kind
of like a weeping. It's like a kind of murky weeping.
Weeping backdoor eyeball?
Yeah. My psychic weeping backdoor eyeball.
Does that where the homunculi come out?
No, homunculi at the front, seepage out the back. There's not much to connect the two.
What are we doing now?
I don't know. I think we're going to move on to our last segment.
Hey!
Oh, my weeping backdoor eyeballs.
Are you really?
Got a message for you.
Don't try and push it.
Don't get the number 43 bus on a Saturday.
Okay.
All right? It says that's bad news.
Okay.
What's that? And don't buy any records on the castle label. I don't know what it's saying there.
I'm not buying it. It's being sent to me, so.
All right. Well, it's blinking. It's saying it's a bad sign. Oh, it's a bad sign. The eyeball's saying you must reject that record.
I'm not going to reject that record.
Reject the record, my eyes. My backdoor eyes saying you must reject the record. It's bad omen. Bad omen.
On this week's episode, everyone, Paul had the idea of having a psychic bumhole.
And the homunculi. Eli, we're going to do something that's a little bit like brand off brand, but it's not. I'm going to call this a rank me off segment of the show.
No, you've already...
I want you to rank me off.
The segment's called off-brand brand off.
No, it's not, though, because it is and it isn't. Because in off-brand brand off, we take recognisable brands of food and compare them and contrast them with off-brand cheaper alternatives to see what we like, if we can recognise the difference, etc. Right?
That I usually blindfold myself, do a blindfold test.
Yes, our resident super taster.
I'm the resident super taster, everybody. Eli Silverman, hello.
Hello.
And I'm here today. He hasn't told me exactly what I'll be doing, but he has said to me... He said, be very prepared, get those taste buds. And we do a training thing, Super Tasters, with our taste buds, Paul.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's that then?
We go in a room in the dark and then there's a lemon in the room. Okay. And you're looking around.
You got to sniff the lemon out.
You've got to sniff the lemon out.
And then what happens when you find it?
You give yourself a doggy biscuit.
And what's a doggy biscuit?
It's a biscuit designed for dogs to eat, Paul.
So the lemon doesn't play a part in the training?
Well, yes.
I know most of the smell, taste comes from the nose, all that stuff. Yes, I get it. We all get it. We all know.
Sometimes they use an orange or a kiwi fruit.
Yeah, but what if I put,
sometimes the reward is, it's just that I like a doggy bone biscuit.
What if I put like a chocolate bar in there? Could you smell a chocolate bar?
Yeah, I can smell a chocolate bar now.
Can you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Mars in that corner. Oh, there was.
Yeah.
In the last 6 months, there's been a Mars in that corner.
Has there?
Yeah. I can see all... It's almost like a visual thing. I can almost see them. It's my... That's a super taster, Paul. My nose... I call it the nose vision I have. It's,
right.
It's so good, my taste of, sense of smell and my my taste,
right,
that I can actually... It almost... represents itself visually, the ghosts of former chocolates. And I can see there are... Someone has been sitting on that sofa there...
I'm going to let this crunching, play out. I'm just going to let this play out because I'm not invested.
Crunching Maltesers.
Yeah.
But I can almost, in my smell vision, I call it.
Hang on. Oh, my eye's blinking. Hang on. It's saying, don't eat that Mars bar. It's bad news for Eli if he eats that Mars bar. Oh!
No one likes your psychic bumhole.
Well, unfortunately, one person who matters does, and that person is me, so we'll be doing it for as long as I can stomach it.
You can't. That's why it's coming out your bum.
My. All right. My eyes... Eli, it's saying to you... Don't stop the bumhole material. It's saying it'd be bad news for you.
If I kiboshed its own material.
You cannot kibosh my brown eye. I will not let you kibosh my brown eye.
I've had just about enough of this.
Oh, my blinking eyes saying don't mess with forces you don't understand. Oof. Right, anyway, so... It is all to say we are doing a spin on off-brand brand off. I have a mix of branded and unbranded ready-salted crisps.
Ready-salted crisps.
And you're going to taste a crisp from each bag and rank them. That one's nice, flavour profiles. Because I remember seeing online a little while ago someone saying, all fucking ready-salted crisps are the same anyway. Who gives a fuck, right?
Yes.
And I was like, well, that's patently not true.
I don't believe that to be true either, Paul, and I'm hoping to prove it here,
yes,
by being able to distinguish these crisps.
No.
I think I'm able to distinguish.
Well, just in the range of how these are prepared and produced en masse, it's going to be different from company to company. I mean, I'm going to go through all the flavours in the bag so you know. It's not going to be like a completely blind thing. But one of them is Smith's Crisps, and this How It All Began book has the history of the Smith's Crisps. Would you like to hear the history?
Smith's is the original crisp brand. Let's hear about that now.
As we're about to find out. So in the early 1900s, Frank Smith was the manager of Carter's, a wholesale grocery company in the city of London. In 1910, Mr. Carter, the company's proprietor, brought from abroad a recipe for a French speciality table dish, the thinly sliced potatoes cooked in oil.
So it came from a French dish.
Isn't it like that? What's that thick meal where you have thinly sliced potatoes? And,
Dauphinoise.
Yeah, it must come from something like that, right?
Maybe a Dauphinoise went wrong and it fell in the fat. One of these things.
Chocolate bleu! I have invented the crisp!
Funny, because you get chips as well, come from France.
Pommes frites!
They're big...
Chocolate bleu! Pommes frites!
They're big potato dish innovators, the French, aren't they? French fries.
Well, there we go. The idea of making and selling these appealed to Mr. Frank Smith. The two men, after experimenting with hand-cutting equipment...
Sorry, what other man?
Mr. Carter...
Oh, his boss.
And Frank Smith were involved in the company together. So they tried hand-cutting equipment to get the potato slices of uniform thickness and decided to market the product as a potato crisp in 2D bags. What does 2D, what would that be? 2... is it pence? What's D mean?
Oh, shillings or whatever.
Shillings, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's old money, isn't it?
Okay.
But they must be very cheap.
Yes. Distribution was by horse-drawn vehicles and was very local. The idea did not show any signs of growth, as neither the trade nor the public really knew what a potato crisp was.
Funny.
So you just go around in London in a horse and cart saying,
like, what's this crap?
Potato crisps!
I don't know why they wouldn't be French.
No, they'd be a... potato crisps!
It's more I think they were for London, Paul.
Potato crisps!
No, that's still getting noise.
Potato crisps.
There you go.
Potato crisps.
No, you're weird.
Nor my eye. Right.
No, you can't just say my eye.
My eye says don't stop me.
I get fucking critical.
My eye is very protective. Mr. Carter was not wildly enthusiastic, but Frank Smith saw the great possibility in the product. In 1920, he browned out on his own.
Your eye is affecting you.
Yeah, with a £10,000, which must have been fucking tons of money back in the day.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah, probably.
Capital subscribed by himself and two friends. There, he formed Smith's Potato Crisps Limited. A staff of 12 began to work in a converted store behind the Crown Hotel in Cricklewood.
Ah, that's good detail.
Yeah, this time the
business... Do you know the Crown?
I know where it is, yeah.
No, it's very distinctive, massive...
is it still there?
Hotel. Yeah, it's very distinctive. We've been past it.
Oh.
It's that big one up on Cricklewood High Road.
Oh, yeah.
You know the
okay,
one I mean?
Yeah, that
big
oh.
Victorian sort of pub
the,
hotel.
The home
thing.
Of crisps.
Could almost there. Oh, we should go up there.
Maybe that's
mate.
Why it's called Cricklewood, because crisps go crickle crackle.
Crickle crackle wood.
Crispy wood. I've got crispy wood, mate. I tell you, fuck me. Right, anyway. It's like an old dead tree, my fucking dick.
Crispy.
Anyway,
oh, yeah.
This time the business did grow rapidly, and even sales in London overtook production. By 1921, other factories were opened to cope with the demand. In 1922 came the addition of the now famous salt packet, the salt wrapped in a blue paper twist. This quickly became Smith's trademark. So one of the crisps today, spoilers, is Smith's Salt and Shake, although now it's owned by Walkers, that brand.
Indeed. But Walkers are owned by... PepsiCo.
Yeah, it's a Frito-Lay, isn't it?
Frito-Lay.
So, they still come with a little blue sachet of salt, which I have already shaken and shuffled into the bag.
You've already shaken it and shuffled it into the bag. Yeah. Good.
Weirdly enough, maybe Salt and Shake is one of the oldest brands of crisp in the world then, right?
No,
in
terms it is. Brand. This is the story, but I think this is an appropriate time to bring this up, Paul.
Yes.
I'm aware of this story, and in fact, I think I'm going to try and fill you in a bit.
Oh, my brown eye, my psychic eye.
Everyone in a bit after you finish the end of this story. Because
all right.
I watched a programme about the crisp wars of the 80s and 90s in Britain. But that told a potted version of what you're talking about now. Smith's inventing crisps, essentially.
Yeah.
But
it goes
I
on
want to
say,
know what about the Americans?
Hang on,
that's
let's just
what
get
I want to know.
Fuck them for now, because frankly, this is a British show and we should be concentrated on British concerns. Up until 1939, production was almost entirely on a manual basis. A gas-fired furnace heated a large tank of ground nut oil. A cook cut potato slices, cooked them in oil, draining them ready for packing. But in the 50s, with automation, came greater expansion. In 1961... Smith's Potato Crisps Limited took over other competitors, producing not only crisps, but nuts and biscuits.
KP.
Which is where that came from.
Right.
And also...
KP is a division of...
It was. I mean, it's all... I don't know where it is all
no.
now. Also, during this period, the product itself was developed and flavoured crisps were introduced. Their arrival brought quite a boost to sales. Also, in 1968, General Mills, Inc., a large American food organisation, acquired total control. Smith's Potato Crisps became Smith's Food, Inc. Today... I mean, this is 1990, whatever now. So they had 10 factories in the UK. Automatic cookers taking 6,000 pounds of potatoes hourly produce 1,400 pounds of finished crisps per hour.
Now.
That was in whatever this is, 95, 96.
Obviously, Morris, who wrote this book.
Yeah.
We like him for writing the book, but I think his research is wrong there. Because a programme I saw,
yeah.
a Channel 4 programme about the crisp wars of the 90s.
Yeah.
Basically about the story about how dominance of the market was acquired by Walkers.
Right.
But he says that flavoured crisps were introduced.
In around the 50s and 60s.
There was a company that introduced them. It wasn't introduced by Smith's. It was introduced by, can you guess?
No, just tell me. It's already a fucking long segment.
No, this is interesting stuff.
Well, then
everyone
tell
needs
us
to
and not make a game out of it.
It's a learning process. If I you don't have want to come to, up with
I am
it
not
going to
fucking learn a thing. Just fucking tell me, fathead.
Golden Wonder
oh.
introduced the flavoured crisp. And you know what the first flavour they did?
To be fair, it doesn't say that they invented the flavour crisp. They just said they introduced it and it boosted their sales.
Yeah, okay.
To be fair.
But it's sort of, it's just for the sake of brevity and time, I think it...
compacts a lot of that
information. It compacted it. Yeah. Which it has to do because they're like 2-page articles in there.
Yeah.
But it was Golden Wonder who introduced the first flavoured crisp. And the first flavoured crisp was...
Hedgehog.
Cheese and onion.
Cheese and onion.
And it was in a huge thing for the industry. And Smith were on the back foot right from the introduction by Golden Wonder of cheese and onion. They had to, and you know what their response was?
What?
Quavers.
Fine.
Quavers early on.
A fine rebuttal, my friend. Yeah. A fine rebuttal.
Anyhow, and Smith's also had another sub-type of crisp, which was for a different type of market, called Tudor. Tudor crisps. Do you remember them at all?
No.
It was Golden Wonder who, throughout up until the 90s, were the big players, the big boys of the crisp world. But they had a huge... fire in one of their factories, Golden Wonder did, in like 1990. Huge fire, and it took out 50% of their production overnight.
And they never recovered.
One of their old chip cookers blew up. Yeah, and they never recovered. And the thing is, Walkers, because Golden Wonder had been like dominant for so many years, their equipment was all sort of janky and old.
Yeah.
And I remember noticing that Golden Wonder crisps often had like green ones in and like bit manky bits. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? The quality. But then when Walkers came in, you could see they were much more uniform and they had this sort of, you know, so Walkers won the war of quality over them because Golden Wonder's old equipment was there.
However, for the sake of this segment, we're going to be doing only ready salted crisps, the basics, the very basics. And just to reiterate, like the salt and shake bag where you had to add your salt, when the companies would already just add the salt for you, that's why we got the phrase ready salted. They were already salted.
Indeed.
So that's what we're doing today. 6 packets of crisps. I'll tell you now what the crisps are. Now, these aren't the order I'm going to give you them in, but we have Kettle lightly salted potato chips, Walkers ready salted, the market leader, Walkers salt and shake. Poor old Smiths,
exactly the same. I'm not going to distinguish them.
Ready salted, Tesco brand. This is their basics.
See, it's off-brand there.
Smith's crisps, ready salted.
They still make those.
I told you they did. This is from B&M.
It's crazy.
And then we have Tesco's finest sea salt.
So those are their sort of kettle clones. Okay.
Now it is time to put your taste buds to the test because we're going to now, Mr. Silverman, straight away put you through the rank it off challenge. 6 crisps, 6 ready salted packets. How will you rank them? How will you enjoy them? What will come out on top? What will be bottom of the barrel? We're going to find off in Paul Gannon's...
Find off.
Rank me off. Yeah, find off. We're going to find off.
We're not going to find off,
Paul. What's my brown on my eye?
You're such a cunt.
Saying the more you fight me, mate, the more bad looks come in
your
way. Just
use the right word. I mean, all this stuff that's fucking information-rich stuff that I say gets cut, and you just don't even say the right word.
My bum.
And that all stays in.
Yeah, it's gold, that's why.
Fuck you.
Right now, Daddy Gannon's just got a lot of ready salted crisps he wants to stick in your mouth.
I'm
so
up
Daddy
for
Gannon
this, Paul.
Wants to get it.
I'm
you
up
let
for it.
Daddy Gannon get what he wants.
I also want to say, just before I put the blindfold on, I'm going to have a go trying to guess which crisp is which as well.
That's a Brucey bonus, but it's not on your head to do so. There's
the
no
ranking is the thing.
Yeah, it's just the ranking. I want you to rank me off after
this.
For
fuck's sake.
I know, but whatever.
You're
whatever.
So desperate.
Desperate man.
You're desperate. Every time we fucking do this show, you're desperate to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of an admission, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't enjoy doing this podcast.
Not anymore, no. Not anymore. Lost the love of this a long time ago.
Exactly.
I'm going to go out on my own thing. Oh, anyway, we're going to join us after this break. Okay, so we have 6 crisps and we're going to give them one at a time. Now, I will say this. You can have one crisp. I'm going to try and find you an equal size crisp as much as possible.
Well.
But we'll see. What I will say is, if you have a crisp and you haven't made up your mind, I will give you a second crisp from that bag, all right?
Yes.
But once you move on from the bag, you cannot go back.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm gonna give him now crisp number 1 from my selection.
Well, I can't put this anywhere. I just have to eat it and just put it down, because I'm ranking them, aren't I?
Yeah.
So the first one just comes... It's just...
Well, that'll
just
be your baseline, basically,
it's my baseline,
won't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to find you a nice big one.
Now, they can obviously vary in terms of crunch...
Yeah.
Thickness.
Hand out.
Sort of how much of a sort of cooked quality they have, how greasy they are. There's a lot of variables.
There's lots of variables, but it's up to you now to break it all down.
That has almost a stale potato smell to me.
This is crisp number 1. So you don't need to rank this one because it's your first crisp, but from now on you can say whether the next crisp is better or worse, etc.
Well, that had a nice woody potato-iness and a nice crunchy texture.
Okay.
Quite rustic, thick, crunchy, but...
Didn't taste as stale as the smell? Or was the smell too off-putting?
No, it did not taste as stale as the smell. And I would say undersalted. A little bit too plain tasting. Nice potato flavour, nice texture.
Okay.
The seasoning not there for me. And I do have a feeling that is the, like the Tesco, I would say, just off the head,
yeah.
I would say that's the Tesco generic brand one.
Okay, all right. I'll write this down then, all right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll write
but
the
again, I might change my mind about
which
my
is,
guess.
Which is but... fine, but I'll write it down for now.
Okay, decent first crisp, that.
Do you want to wash your palate? Have you done that yet?
No, it's okay.
Okay, here is crisp number two. It's a little bit broken, but it's still integrity.
It's still integrity. Okay.
It's
a bit spikier.
Well, this one broke as I was pulling it out, so...
Oh, less odour.
Okay.
Less odour. I'm just getting a faint oiliness on the nose.
He's putting it in his mouth. He's making the crunch crunch sounds, and he'll be back now to report upon what he thinks the flavour of that particular crisp.
Saltier.
Crisp number two.
Thinner cut, saltier, crisper.
Okay.
Less woody, less fibrous.
Mm.
More of a thinner, crisp, sort of disappears in the mouth quicker.
Buttery, less buttery, more oily.
It was slightly more greasy, but not in in a better way.
Okay.
I'd say that's a higher quality crisp. That could even be a kettle. I don't think it is, though. I'm going to put that one place above.
One place above.
Definitely preferred it. And I think that... You know what I think that is? I think that's the sort of the kettle clone, the off-brand kettle one.
Oh, the Tesco Finest.
The Tesco Finest.
Okay, do you want me to write Tesco Finest down then?
Write it down for now. I might change my mind, but I think that's what that is, yeah.
Okay, right, here we go then with crisp number three.
It almost had that kind of a batch-fried kettle, that kind of ultra-greasy crunchiness that you associate with kettle, but it didn't have quite the crunch of a real kettle. It was thinner slice than a real kettle.
Hand out.
Here's crisp number three.
Crisp number three being presented to him.
Oh, this smells like a kettle crisp.
Okay, what gives it away with a kettle crisp then? If it is a kettle crisp.
It's just so rigid in my hand. It's really, it's even from the finger touch, it's much harder.
It's crunchy. You can hear the crunch. You can hear it.
You can hear it and you can feel it. That is definitely the kettle.
Okay, but where do you rank it, though? Again, do you put it below that one you just had, above the Tesco, below the Tesco?
That's the best crisp I've had so far.
So you want it at the top so far, then?
Yeah.
All right, let's put it.
And
here,
that is a kettle. The only other possibility is that could be the Tesco kettle clone.
Oh, okay, right.
It could be, but from what I've tasted so far, I'd say that was a kettle. I knew it when you put it in my hand, mate. I knew when you put it in my hand. That's a kettle. They've got a distinct oil sort of flavour.
Yeah.
Again, they're oily, these high ones.
Right, hand out for the next and fourth crisp.
Fourth crisp coming.
There you go.
Okay, nice.
There you go.
Nice size crisp, nice and round.
Nice and round.
This is what you'd expect from, like, you know, a standard manufacturer like Walkers.
Yeah. In it goes, and he's giving it a good old munchy ears. Ooh, larty-day-do.
Very similar to our first crisp.
Okay, fair enough.
That sort of fibrous, bit thicker cut.
Yeah. Again, you don't have to say what it is, but where do you rank it on what you've eaten so far? And it's a personal taste, I give you that.
It's saltier than the first one.
Okay.
I would put it...
Texture's preferable, it's fine, nice and crunchy, doesn't taste
stale.
Yeah,
fine. Again, I prefer the kettle style ones.
Yeah.
I would put this in second to bottom, if you see what I mean, in between.
So, between number two and number one, because number one is your baseline.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put four in between there.
Below
the first
one. Yeah, better than the first one.
Above the first
one. It was very similar to the first crisp, but it had better salt.
Okay. Do you want to have a guess at the brand? Again, not
necessary. I think that's the salt and shake.
Okay.
Because it had a sort of uneven saltiness, which would come from the shift shaft shaft.
Very astute.
But I might be wrong. And the first one was so undersalted that I'm thinking that might have been the salt and shake, and it's just a crisp that didn't, you know, because it's not a reliable mixing method, the shaking of the pack. You know, some of them might have missed out in your cursory shaking.
That's true.
It's now the penultimate crisp, please.
Fifth of six crisp.
Right. Oh, this is a big boy.
It's a big boy.
Nice
and I've given him a crisp.
Nice and round.
Nice and round.
It's just a decent crisp, you know? It's very much like the first
my, one.
The one I've got in first place in terms of texture, that kind of woody, quite thick fibrousness. The flavour, okay, very similar. Saltiness, very similar to number one that was. Very similar.
But where are you going to put it? Do you want it to put it above that first one and below the fourth one you thought was salt and shake? Do you want to put it in between it?
Put it in there, please.
Okay, so this is...
Nice. Not terrible. A bit better salt than the first one. I think that is the Smith's.
Okay.
The Smith's normal ready salted one.
Okay.
That's what I think that
is. All right, and you think that is the Smith's.
What would this last one make this last one? What have I guessed them to be?
Hang on.
Please tell me, because I want to see whether this is the one that I...
I've just got to do a bit of rewriting because I'm moving the things around on the page. What did you say? What did you ask me the question again now that I've done my notes?
Which one have I not guessed yet?
You've got one more to go.
Yes.
You said at the bottom was the first crisp and you said that was Tesco, right? The one above that was the one you just had. That was number 5. So that you said was Smith's.
Yeah.
The one above that you ranked was what you called Salt and Shake. That's number 4.
Yeah.
The next crisp above that you said was Tesco Finest and that was the second crisp you had. And then at the very top so far is crisp number 3, which you said was Kettle.
So which one haven't I guessed one of them was going to be?
Walker's.
Oh yeah, Walker's Plain, yeah.
All right, but here's your last crisp.
So if this tastes like a Walker's, then I'm feeling good about myself.
Okay.
But the one that I've got in second position, below the Kettle Chip, I feel that could be the Walker's.
Okay, well.
So I might change my guess.
It's up to you, though. All right, he's having a sniff of the last crisp.
Same sort of, that first one really did have a sort of off potato kind of smell, but none of the others have.
So he's going with the last crisp now. He's having a crunch of that. Let's see where he ranks it. Let's see where he spanks it.
This is the...
This is crisp number 6. Where are you going to put it?
Okay, I'm changing. I'm putting it in third place.
Below crisp 3 and crisp 2.
Yes.
So this is going to be crisp 6. Okay.
But I'm going to change my guess. So I'm sticking with the rankings.
Right.
I think the crisps that I have in second position...
From the bottom?
No, from the top.
Okay, so okay.
I think that is...
You currently say that is Tesco Finest.
I think that's the Walker's. The one that I just had...
Yeah.
...is the Tesco Finest.
Okay,
and the top one is the Kettle.
Okay, that hasn't changed then. That's still the same. So, I'm going to tell
can
you
I
now...
Can I blind bolt?
Yes, you can. I'm going to tell you now how you went, and I'm going to do it in how...
You tasted them as well, didn't you, Paul?
On the way, but just...
Well, I'd like to know your opinion, man.
Well, it's hard because I saw what I was putting in my mouth.
Yeah, so but I still want to know.
There is a church and state difference between the Kettle and the Finest with all the other crisps, because I think the one that...
It's the thickness of the cut. More than anything else, isn't it?
The smaller packet crisps tend to have a uniformity to them, and it's kind of marginal about what the difference is. Whereas, you know, you've got these Kettle ones, which are made to be more rugged or crunchy or...
Rustic. Paul, yes.
How do you want this revealed? Shall I just tell you in terms of ranking? Like, I'll say you ranked the top one was this, but it was actually this as number 3.
Yes, please,
all right. So here we go.
From the least favourite up to my favourite.
So you want to go from the bottom up?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So you said at the bottom, number 1 crisp, which was the first one you had, was Tesco.
It's my least favourite.
You were correct. So I'm going to give you a tick there. This is a... for anyone taking notes at home, he's going to get betwings, but these do not class as price of right betwings. These are rank-off betwings, similar but different. Please do not confuse them. They will not be added to his tally for the main game.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So a betwing already for you. There's no extra betwings. It is betwing by nature.
I'm happy that I got that. This all goes to show that the guy was wrong on Twitter, doesn't he?
Now, next one up. Next one up over that was crisp number 5, which you said was the Smith crisp.
Yes, but to be fair to me, I haven't tasted Smith's crisps in years.
No.
It felt a bit old school. It felt a bit like a Golden Wonder crisp.
Yeah.
So
it has that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So you said second crisp was crisp number 5, and you said that was Smith's. Crisp number 5 was actually a Smith's crisp, Mr. Silverman.
Oh, my God, I'm a crisp genius.
Right, now we go to the third most popular. The third most popular. That was crisp number 4.
And I changed my mind on, didn't I, after I had...
No, you changed the penultimate one round.
Yes.
So you said in the third position was crisp number 4. You said that was Salt and Shake, and it was Salt and Shake. You're doing very well, Mr. Silverman.
I can tell because of the granularness of the salt crystals.
Right. Now, in fourth position...
Oh, my God, I've done so well at this. Even I may have confused
those. You said
those
was crisp number 6.
We've got the Kettles to go, don't we?
Yeah. So you said crisp number 6 was in the fourth position.
We're going up towards my favourites. Yeah.
So you said that was Tesco Finest, number 6. The answer
it
was...
It may have been the kettle.
It was the kettle.
Yeah, see, I wanted to change my mind.
Much of a muchness.
It's the taste of the oil. It's more kettle, which means my favourite was the Tesco's Finest, I'm sure.
Yes. Let's see. So you said the second best was crisp number two, which you said was Walker's, and you would be right.
That is. It has a quality to it. It's definitely distinctive from those other ones. And that's why it won the war in the 90s.
And then at number one, crisp number three, you said that was kettle, but it was in fact Tesco's Finest.
I got them confused, the kettle types, yeah. There's a more distinct... I don't know if you agree with me, Paul, but the kettle has a more distinct flavoured oil. It has more of the peanut oil flavour. They're very similar.
They're very similar. What would you prefer, though, out of interest?
I prefer the Tesco's Finest.
Well, there we go. Tesco's Finest. And it was a little bit cheaper than the kettle. I think the kettle was £1.30. The Tesco's Finest was like £1.19 or something. So, yeah.
They're better. It's the oil taste is better.
And also... Apart from Walker's, which has its own kind of slightly buttery vibe going on.
It's softer, isn't it? And it is thinner and sort of, it just has a distinctness, the Walker's.
Yeah, and all these are much of a muchness, really, the bottom three.
They are, but I was able to distinguish them.
Very well done. I was actually genuinely surprised you were hitting it as far as you did, and it was only the kettle conundrum that tripped you up, really, wasn't
it?
So after that, you get four well-earned betwings from that rank-off.
Rank-off betwings,
you've
everybody.
You've ranked me off, I'm satisfied, and now it's time for Paul to go sleepy time. So,
are you?
Yeah, I always have a sleep after a wank, don't I? Which is why I should never do it when I'm on the bus.
Why do you have to do that? What's that?
I'm doing me. It's my new shtick. I do a funny gag, and then I bring in a bit of music, don't I?
What's that? That's Mel and Kim.
Yeah, showing out. Only takes a minute, girl. The
That's a different song he's on now, everyone.
I'm on a vibe now because I'm feeling.
He's feeling a vibe.
I'm feeling
like my joke moniker of. Resident Super Taster is actually got something behind it, mate.
Mate, it's that magic we're using.
I'm good at it.
You're actualising it.
I am actually good at tasting crisps, aren't I?
You're actualising it. You're thinking about it. You're saying it. It's becoming it. You're making it happen with left-hand magic, mate.
Don't
we can
stop
do this.
Saying
get
it.
Into dark shit. Oh, it's blinking. I've got a premonition coming through my back door eye. It's saying, Eli, your future's in crisps. Your future's in crisps. But it says, no discos. No disco crisps.
Discos
no
are crisps, great crisps.
Though. I nearly got discos, but I think they were obviously way too different in texture.
Yes, because they are.
And I didn't get Seabrooks for the same reason, because they're ridged, so you'd know.
Yes, that was the next innovation after flavours, was the Quaver, which was when they first did the mashed, pelleted, and
puffed.
Then... Puffed! You could have a homunculi factory. All you'd need is me going... And you have these little pellets of...
What did you say?
It has to be on gauze.
You have to put it into a gauze, and then you have to keep it at the temperature of a horse's womb for a couple of weeks.
Well, you could actually have horse's wombs.
A battery of horse's wombs. Yeah. A battery form of horses.
God.
No, to be fair, you only have to keep it at the temperature of a womb. You don't need the horses itself. But I think, just to make the magic work, we should get a load of horses in.
Yes.
And fill them with spunk.
It could be a new horror franchise.
Make tiny Eli's and
tiny
Paul's.
Homunculi Factory.
Yeah.
And Homunculi Factory 2, Return to the Horse's Womb.
Yeah, and Homunculi Factory 3, Electric Boogaloo. Something like that, I don't know.
But you are just the worst. Your mind is empty.
It's not empty. Ooh, that's winking.
Oh, my God.
He's winking.
Do you know what's not going to catch on, I think, Paul?
My brown thinking. My brown mystic eye is going to catch
not
on.
Gonna catch
my
on.
Mystic brown eye.
What does
it
think about its prospects on the show?
Yeah, hang on, it's coming through.
Oh.
It's coming through. Oh, he's saying big success. Big success.
Is it?
It's saying this morning interview.
Oh, you're going to be on this morning.
Showing my ring piece off. Open your eyes. Open your eye. You pull my eye. There's a little head coming out of me bumhole with little baby arms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think I have exhausted this now.
You have.
I'm going to stop.
Who's the best taste crisper?
Shaft! Damn right!
Press the button. Press the fucking button.
I'll press the fucking button. I'm a button fucking presser, that's me. Eli, I've booked the date for the Trash Can Film Festival.
Oh yeah, you forgot to say at the top.
I didn't forget to say. I've neglected to say.
Have they said about the samples? What's happening with
that? You're going to get two samples up front and then the rest.
Well, when are they coming?
I don't know. Before. I don't know. They haven't said anything.
My nose has got all
stabs on
there.
Can you focus on the information we need to impart and then we can riff? So, the Trash Can Film Festival will take place on YouTube live on the evening of 8th of June. 2024. Come and join us on YouTube for the Trash Can Film Festival, a whole host of popular names in the Cheap Show history. We've got some short films. We're going to do awards. There's going to be an actors round table. There's going to be a lot of like the cinema talk.
And the headlining film will be my piece about the process.
Well, no, if yours is in competition, then it can't be the headlining piece. Otherwise, you have to take it out of competition.
But I'm an award. I've won awards for my work.
Man. That's true. But you have an option. It can either be in competition and be up for best director, actor, script, and all that
stuff.
I don't
see why I have to go through this process.
I mean, well, because I'm established. I've established last week that
it's a craft.
I can't offer favours to you just because you're part of Cheap Show. If you want to take part in it,
you've got
to
help me feel better about this, Paul.
What?
If I had the samples. I know you fucking got them.
I haven't got them.
You're pretending.
I'm not pretending. Listen,
I saw you with that Brian Graxton. I saw you.
They
having
weren't
a drink
the
with
samples.
Him. I live here in London.
They
Paul.
Weren't the samples.
What the fuck were they? Looked like they looked like the new ones.
No, they were.
They looked like DX2.
They were experimental Viagra that they've been.
Oh, I see. Doing. No, okay, say no more.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up, mate. Because you know I've been having a bit of a problem down there lately.
Okay. Yeah.
And he said you can get me some of the Graxton Blue Pill stuff, and it was a fucking battle because I had to fight for your samples, and as a result, I can't get hard now. So do you want to say thank you for the fact that I'll be limp for months?
All right, thanks.
Just so you can have your little swabs. Your little report swabs. So please join us on YouTube Saturday, 8th of June for the Trash Can Film Festival. It's going to be quite the night, we assure you.
Indeed. And thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon.
If indeed you do. If you'd like to, go to patreon.com/cheapshow. Give what you can, but only if you can.
Only if you can.
There's videos and extra podcasts and behind-the-scenes stuff and access to the magazine and all kinds of lovely things for all kinds of tiers of enrolment. So
and we have upgraded the technical equipment we use for our videos and stuff, so
they look bit better now.
It looks a bit better.
Less handheld camcorder and more nice camera lens
nice
stuff.
Nice camera lens stuff.
So, again, we couldn't have done it without the Patreon backers that
thank
allows
you very
us
much
to do these kind of things. So, thank you very much. Anything else you want from Cheap Show, go to our website, thecheapshow.co.uk. There's a designated page for every episode. There is links to videos, links to all sorts. Just go to thecheapshow.co.uk, and from there you can find us on social media and whatnottery. That's it. It's telling me what's going to happen next week. Oh, what's that?
You've shat yourself.
Eli gets a letter from the king. Oh, what that? And it says, meet the king round the back of the palace for a sausage hand fun. Well, that's next week on Cheap Show, according to my backdoor brown eye of wisdom. No. Do you want to ask it a question? Ask it a question and see what it says.
You're not playing this game with
you. All you got to do is ask a question and then say, I wish I may, I wish I might. Your dirty bum, please say tonight.
Paul, if you want to just...
give up on this segment and leave and end
wrap
the episode.
This up. I'm just going to go.
I could just,
coffee after we've done?
I'd love a cup of tea, actually. Shall I stop doing the bumhole stuff?
Stop doing the bumhole stuff, please.
Oh, it's going. It's fading. Oh, it's gone.
Oh, did it pop off?
I've lost one homunculi and one little arse goblin now tonight. What a waste of magic.
What a waste of our time this has been.
Waste of
apart
more
from
of
that
it.
Bit with the crisps where I fucking was predominant.
Predominance, yes.
I stand predominant.
Let's just go. Let's just go. We've done enough now.
I'm happy to go. I'm out of here.
Bye then.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.